Welcome to Hebrew Club, our last session of fall quarter already. Woo! So for you who are in the diaspora, which is Greek, what's the Hebrew for diaspora, by the way? Teputzot.
That's what I was going to say.
Or Gola from Gala. Or Galut. Galut or Gola or Teputzot. You got three different words for the diaspora, only one in Greek. Ha ha. That was my whole joke. I actually had to look that up.
Greek is a thinking man's language.
I had to look that up.
Diaspora.
So you will see us.
Diaspora Vigil.
That's right. So we will be back. They're going to X all this out when they put it on the computer anyway, so we'll just get Tim Selesca Hebrew Club. But we'll be back in 2 weeks for you who are in the Galut or Gola or Teputzot. So we are on 1 Samuel 19. We're starting a new chapter.
Yes.
And again, my goal is to get through this book by the end of the year. We can do it.
So
we continue with the saga of Saul and David, and the plot thickens. If you will recall, at the end of the last chapter, the narrator indicated that David was an enemy with Saul from this point on. So this is where we're at. Okay? So we're at verse 1 of 19. Vayedaber Shaul el Yonatan beno ve'el kol avadav. Then Saul said to Jonathan beno, his son, and to all his servants, Lehamit et David. Okay, so we probably should translate Yedaber as order. Then Saul gave an order to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants, lehamit, to put David to death. Notice that this is from the Hebrew mut, a hiphil infinitive construct. All right, to put David to death, hamit. Now notice the different spelling for Jonathan, Yonatan, and now it's Yehonatan ben Shaul. So you'll see kind of variations in spelling in the manuscript tradition. Yehonatan ben Shaul, chafetz beDavid meod. Now Jonathan, the son of Saul, was delighted with David. Meod, greatly. Was greatly delighted with David. Okay, verse 2. I'll ask for questions at the end of verse 2. Vayaged Yehonatan leDavid lemor. Then, so Jonathan reported to David from Nagad, Hiphil, saying, lemor, Mevakeh Shaul avi lahamiteka. Saul is seeking. Notice that this is a piel participle from Bakash. Yahweh, or Saul, my father, is seeking lahamiteka, to put you to death. Ve'ata hishamer na baboker. So ve'ata again, conclusion. And so, hishamer. That is a nifal imperative from Shamar. And na is a particle of politeness. So here it almost becomes a kind of polite plea. Please, I would say, be careful. Baboker, in the morning. Okay? So be careful in the morning. Ve'yashavta baseter ve'nach beta. So be careful in the morning. Now notice, following an imperative, you very often have a vav plus second person singular perfect, translated as imperatives. And again, the semantic difference between these strings of imperatives and regular imperatives is very hard to say. Other linguists, one guy has studied these and said that to find something different semantically is very difficult, because you see them occurring in all kinds of contexts. So it's a stylistic or dialectical feature, or some other reason maybe is guiding that. But notice it says, be careful, please be careful in the morning, and I would probably translate Yeshav as stay baseter, stay hidden, stay in a secret place. Okay? Venach beta and hide. Now look at that verb, nach beta. That is, does anyone know what that is?
Chava.
It's from Chava. What conjugation?
Nifal,
but what's weird about it?
It has a
patech under the nun. Alright? So it is a nifal from chava, means to hide. And the spelling with a patech, I actually looked this up here, and it actually occurs with a patech two other times in Genesis, once in Genesis, once in Joshua, and three times with the expected segel. You'd normally expect a segel. in Joshua, Judges, and Job. Alright? So just I don't know why the spelling is different. You see that with just a few words. It does not occur in the call. What do you think is the transitive? If you wanted to say he hid the messengers, for example, when the spies came into Canaan, this form is used. What conjugation do you guess you would use? There's no call.
Hiphil.
It would be the hiphil. Good. Notice that here, it's intransitive use. In English, you could say hide yourself, but that reflexive is usually used for like bodily washing or something like dressing yourself. And here, so I would just translate it as an intransitive, and the meaning overlaps with the hitpael. So the hitpael and niphal seem to overlap a lot in meaning. And I don't know what the exact difference would be. And again, there's a number of verbs that do that. So stay hidden and hide yourself, or stay in a secluded place or secret place, venach beta, and hide. Okay? Any questions through verse 2? Yes, Will.
I'm just interested in base there, in the hiding place. Is there a reason why they would make that definite?
First of all, he could have one in mind.
Mm-hmm.
But second of all, a lot of times, the use of the article in Hebrew does not always match up in English. So it could be the hiding place, which we have already determined beforehand, that he's just not telling us.
Yeah. But it also could be just indefinite.
Right, that he has something definite in mind, but again, we're not sure. Well, I don't know if any translations translate the hiding. Most of them translate
it's an article of specificity.
Is that it?
No.
Okay. I don't know.
Article of hiding place.
Yeah, the
article of hiding place.
That's good.
Hiding place.
Yeah.
With words of hiding.
One of those things. verse 3. Vahani etze ve'amad tila yaravi. And as for me, notice the pronoun kind of in an emphatic place. And as for me, I will go out. And I will stand layad avi, at the side of my father, at my father's side. Basadeth asherat hasham, in the field where you are there. Notice again, this is kind of a common way that relative clauses construct themselves. You sometimes have the resumptive pronoun, and sometimes sham. So in English we'd say, I will stand at my father's side in the field where you are. Neav. Asherah atasham. Okay. Va'ani adaber beka el aviv. And I will speak about you, beka, to avi, my father. Okay. Ve'ra'iti ma ve'higad tilak. Okay, now here's kind of an interesting use of ma, but we do see this in other places. And I will see what? That's literally, and I will see what? In other words,
what's going on?
I will see what's happening. Alright. And you have ma used in this kind of almost like an object in other places. The most famous one that you would know is Micah 6. He will tell you ma, what is good, ma tov. But you have it in other places too. So we normally think of it as an interrogative, but here it doesn't seem to have that function. Okay? And I will see what's going on. Okay? And I will report it, lach, to you. From not God. Alright. Questions through verse 3. Verse 4.
As we've got the Va'ani twice. So, as for me.
Yes.
And as for me again. I mean, something like that. I mean, I saw that first one wanted to make it disjunctive. But I.
Let's see. Where
could be
three. Oh.
But yeah, I will go out.
Yeah, right. You can make it.
But that doesn't seem to work as well as. And then the next one.
Yeah,
could it be adversative in both places?
Let's see here. Yeah, you could make that vav because it's just connecting. So it's just how you see the relationship between those two clauses.
You expect the verb next, but you have the pronoun.
Yeah, and notice he's using those pronouns. So I think in reading it, we would put "and I will go out," so that he's contrasting David's actions with his.
Yeah. Okay.
But you don't notice that you really don't need the pronoun there. It's kind of superfluous.
Right.
So we usually say it's emphatic in some way. Verse 4. Vayedaber Yehonatan beDavid tov. Then Jonathan spoke about David tov. Good. El Shaul, to Saul Aviv, his father. Notice how, again, we've seen this in style. It keeps identifying with these extra identifiers. In other words, we all know that Saul's his father, but it kind of keeps saying that. We know Jonathan is his son. It doesn't say that here, but again, even in verse 1, it uses that. So Jonathan spoke about David, spoke well about David to Saul, his father. So it's as if it keeps emphasizing the relationships. You know, it puts the relationships between these guys in the foreground. It remains a kind of salient feature of the narrative. And it's really important, obviously, because Jonathan is working for David kind of against his own father. And of course, remember, especially in that culture, loyalty to your family and your father is huge. Vayomer Elav, Al Yecheta HaMelech Beth Avdo B'David. Okay. Then he said to him. Now notice here, I think that this is appropriate to something Jeff said in Greek Club Monday. You have Al plus the jussive, and we normally translate let the king not sin against. But here, it's more of a stronger request. The king must not, or the king should not sin Be'avdo, against David. Now let, you know, we could interpret as having that force, but in English, let means more in the sense of, what, you say permit or something like that. So I think a better translation is, the king should not sin against his servant. Notice he's using third person, he's still being deferential. He doesn't say you. Okay, he says the king should not sin against his servant, against David. Notice Be'avdo, and then the bait is repeated on David. So again, both that he's the servant and that it's David are highlighted by using the extra bait. Right, you didn't have to have that second bait, see? Ki lo chatalak, for not has he sinned against you. Alright? And notice the lo is written male with the helping vowel 35 times in the Hebrew, according to the Masoretic note at the end. For he has not sinned lak against you. Vakima asav tov lekameot, but let me back up. The force of these keys, I think, exert their force on the illocutionary force. In other words, he is strongly affirming his belief in what he's saying and the truth of what he's saying. So I would translate like this: the king must not sin against his servant, against David. He has certainly not sinned against you, and his works have too, or certainly have been good for you, me'od, have been very good for you. So that with the key, it's not just kind of a logically causal thing. The phrases are kind of in a causal relationship, but the key is actually asserting, focusing on this assertion against the supposition of Saul that David is hurting him. See, you know, Saul's operating with this presupposition that David's bad for him. So against that, Jonathan is making a positive assertion. He has, certainly his works have been good for you, Me'od. And we've seen in the narrative how Jonathan could say that. Okay. Questions through verse 4? Yeah, Will.
One question is about Chatak. After it follows Beit, and after it follows Lamed as well, when he's talking about the king shouldn't sin against its bait, but it's when David hasn't sinned against its lamed. Is there, a little difference in that?
Now that's a good question. You often see those things switch. They switch so much I didn't even notice it, but you're right. Chata, it'd be interesting then to tally the times chata is followed by a lamed. Tom, do you happen to know that? Mm-hmm. And the times chata is followed by a bait.
Well, usually it's lamed, isn't it?
Yeah, I would think. The bait, but we've seen baits used a lot in this narrative for this kind of thing. So I don't know. It's just a switch. That's a good question.
Lamed of baitness.
Yeah, the baitness of lamedness.
Yeah, right. Bait is naturally adversative.
More natural.
Naturally.
That's a more conventionally used as adversative.
Lamed is a little more idiomatic to sin against.
So, yeah, that's probably right. Good. Verse 5. Vayasam et naf sho bekapo. And he put, vayasam, from seeing, notice, and he has put nafsho, his life, taken his life, bekapo, in his hand. So we would say, taking his life into his own hands, or put his life on the line is probably what we would say. See, he has put his life into his hand. Vayak et ha-pelishti. And he smote the Philistine. Vayas Yahweh teshua gedolah kol Yisrael. And Yahweh did a teshua gedolah, a great salvation for all Yisrael. Okay? Now notice there's no vav here. Ra'ita, he doesn't use a vav consecutive, he just uses a perfect. So it kind of juxtaposes, and so it kind of becomes an abrupt switch, which you would expect in spoken language. So the Masoretes put the zakef there, Israel paused. You have seen. Va'tismach, you have seen and rejoiced. Or you saw it and rejoiced. That's probably better. You saw it and rejoiced. See? Ve'lama techeta be'dam naki. So why will you sin, or are you going to sin, be'gam, here's the bait again, against blood naki, against innocent blood, lehamit, by putting David to death. Notice how the infinitive construct is functioning here. Okay? Kind of as a gerund, I guess is how you call it. By putting David to death, chinam. Chain is grace. Remember how adverbs are sometimes formed by adding that ending? Rik, rikam, be vain, in vain, chain, yom, yomam, daily. Here's chain, grace, chinam. And here it'd be without reason.
Dorian.
Really. There we
without
go.
Cause.
Right. Yeah. So notice here, chinam is an adverb and would mean without cause.
Can this have the positive sense of freely?
Freely, yes.
As well?
Yes.
Yeah, Doran can go both ways.
Freely.
As well.
Maybe it's
like Tujanet. Oh, Doran can go that way too?
It can mean sort of in vain.
In vain.
It can mean gracious.
Yeah, so Cain.
It doesn't have anything to do with you.
Right.
Hill or woe or
right.
Vain or blessing, yeah.
Good. Okay, verse 6. Va'yishma Sha'ul be'kol Yehonatan. Yeshava Sha'ul Chayawaim Yumat. Oh, I love this. First of a couple of rare verb forms. Then Saul listened. He obeyed the voice. Shamap was bait. Obeyed the voice of Jonathan. Va Yeshava. Then Saul swore. Notice that that's a Nifal form from Shava. And it doesn't occur in the call again. It's one of these Nifals that are normal to swear. A Hifil would be to cause to swear, to cause to take an oath. Saul swore. Here's the swear. Chai Yahweh. As Yahweh lives. Im. Remember in oaths, im doesn't mean if. It means surely not. Surely not will you mot, will he be put to death. What the heck form is you mot? You know the root.
Moot.
Moot. It's a hafal. Way to go, Will. Yeah, it's a hafal imperfect. Remember the hafals of hollows all have, it looks like an ooh. And they kind of get mashed together, the hafals and other forms. But here, surely not will he be put to death. Ha! We'll see what happens. Verse 7. Vayakra Yehonatan le David. Then Jonathan said to David, Vayeged lo Yehonatan. And he reported, then Jonathan called to David and he reported to him, Et kol hadevarim ha'ela. All these things. Vayave Yehonatan et David el Shaul. Then Jonathan brought David to Saul. It's from just a kifil from Bo. Vayahi lefanav ke'etmo shilshom. And he was before him, namely, David was before him, Saul. Ke'etmo, here's two I adverbs. Etmo means either yesterday or previously. As previously, shilshom, again, either the day before yesterday in some context, but here, formerly or previously. As formerly, previously. And this is just an idiom, which means as before. So you would put those together in English. Okay? Questions? Oh, we got to stop here. All right? We will, does anyone have to do one more verse? Let's just do one more verse because I'm into this here. Verse 8. Vatosef hamilchama lihyot vayetzi David vayilachem vapelishtim. Okay, the war, now Tosif, what's the root?
Yasaf.
Yeah, from Yasaf. It's a hippo from Yasaf. The war added to be, or to come. The war, and here, to come, The war added to be. So the war came again, is how I would say. In other words, the infinitive becomes the finite verb, and tosif is another way that Hebrew does adverbs, see? So the war came again, vayetze David, then David went out, vayilachem, and he fought against the Pelishtim. Vayak, and he struck bahem. He struck them, a makah gedolah, a great slaughter. Struck them a great slaughter. Vayanusu mipanav, and they fled from before him. Okay, so David, all it takes is this one event, and Saul breaks his promise, as we will see. Good. We'll start then after break with verse 9 of chapter 19. Thanks very much.